हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम श्री महागणपतये नमः। ओम सदाशिवसमारंभां व्यासशंकरमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वंदे गुरुपरंपरां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सुप्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम आप्यायन्तु ममांगानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्म उपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मामा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्व निराकरणं मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ओम शांति शांति शांति। The seventh chapter, known as Bhuma Vidya Adhyayaha, the very beginning introduces the teacher and the disciple, the student. Sanat Kumara and Narada respectively. Even though Narada was a highly erudite, learned person known for his knowledge in different disciplines, still the lack of the knowledge of one thing did not help him to overcome sorrow, for he wanted to know, he asked for the self-knowledge, mentioning the statement Atmavit Shokam Tarati, the knower of the self overcomes sorrow. The very statement implies, as long as there is ignorance of the self, irrespective of what we have, what we do not have, in spite of having everything else also, there will be sorrow. Sorrow, one cannot overcome sorrow unless one has this clear knowledge of the self. Therefore, from the very first section onwards, Sanat Kumaraha introduces the Upasanani. There are 15 meditations introduced. In each section, there's one meditation is prescribed. And he prescribed this Upasanani as preparatory disciplines for the knowledge of the self. So, Atma Vidya Praptyartham, for the sake of preparing the mind for the self-knowledge, he prescribed these meditations in 15 sections. And each section present discusses one meditation. Namadi Prananta Brahma Upasanani. So beginning with the Nama Brahma Upasanam, and the 15th section, there is another Upasanam, Prana Brahma Upasanam. In between also, we have many. So all in each Upasanam, we are helped to see everything, every Alambanam, an object of meditation, is what as an Alambanam, as Brahma. So seeing prana as Brahma, seeing sankalpa as Brahma, seeing every object of meditation as Brahma here. That is why pranadi, namadi, prananta, Brahma upasanani. And these upasanani, these meditations are also known as pratika upasanani. Because pratikam is another word for alambanam. And alambanam is a symbol in which something else is invoked. So, utkrishta vastunaha aropaha. Nikrishta vastuni utkrishta vastunaha aropaha. Upasanam. So, here we see something ordinary is nikrishta vastu. In that an ordinary thing, you superimpose something superior. I told you in the class even also long ago, you take a small tiny Ganapati's murti, and you there invoke that in that murti, Bhagavan, the whole. Nikrishta vastani utkrishta vastunaha aropaha. Seeing something superior, exalted in ordinary thing. Like that, that object which serves as a symbol is called alambanam, otherwise called pratikam. And pratikam here, because of a form which serves as a symbol for the Lord or for the reality here, if it is a limbless form, it is called pratikam. So here all these alambanani here are only limbless forms, therefore they are all called pratika upasanani. So we have until, and afterwards, after from 16th onwards, then there is a, Sanat Kumara says, how to get that jnanam? What are all required for that jnanam? He discusses those things. Then the 23rd, he introduces the definition of bhuma. Where he says bhuma is of the nature of fullness, infinitude. Bhuma vai sukham, he says. Then afterwards, then he presents the definition of bhuma in the 24th section. And in the 25th section, he presents the bhuma, jiva bhuma aikyam, surupa aikyam, or jiva brahma aikyam. That is called what? Jiva bhuma aikyam. The oneness of the jiva surupam and bhuma surupam is established in the 25th section. The 26th section again, there is a palashruti follows, with which the 8th, 7th chapter will be over. It's a complete. And we have to see the last portion, I think. So we understood the definition of bhuma given here is what? Bhuma is that which is of the nature of divisionlessness. And what is the word I told you? Mention nirvikalpatvam. Nirvikalpam means divisionless. Anirvikalpatvam is divisionlessness. So nirvikalpatvam, divisionlessness being the swarupam of bhuma, the reality implied by the term bhuma, being nirvikalpatvam, divisionlessness is established, presented here. And jiva brahma aikyam also, the oneness of the reality of the individual and the absolute reality, the total, be one and the same, is also established, presented here in a different way. It is indirectly it is presented, not directly, like tattvamasi. Then this previous section, 6th chapter, it is directly given. Tattu tvamasi means a direct, straightforward, teaching. When it's you, the seeker, or the sought Brahman. The direct, very direct and also straightforward teaching. Whereas here in the 7th section, 7th chapter, the teaching is not presented directly, it's indirectly presented, which means first it is said, all that is here is bhuma. Then the second paragraph, second, all that is here is atma. By saying, by describing atma and Brahman the same way, so it Upanishad makes it very clear, atma and Brahman are essentially one. They're not two. They're not different. Okay, that is established. And later on, we have to see the Palashruti, I think. Yeah, I think We saw the Palashruti also last class. The one who has this clear, doubt-free understanding, vision of the oneness of the reality, a secondlessness, non-duality of the reality, Bhuma Jnanam. Whoever has this Bhuma Jnanam, Brahma Jnanam, such a person, Atma Kridaha, Atma Ratihi, Atma Kridaha, Atma Mithunaha, Atmanandaha Bhavati. The man of vision, attaining the Jivan Muktihi, is implied by these four words. What are the four words we saw? Sava Yeshaha. Let us see that. 25th section, let us read that now. Atha, Ataha, Atma Deshaha, Yeva, Atmauk, Atmaivadhastat, Atmoparishtat, Atmapaschat, Atmapurastat, Atmadakshinatah, Atmottaratah, Atmaivedam sarvam, Iti, Atmayeva idam sarvam iti, Atmayeva idam sarvam iti. So there ends what? Atma Surupam. Atma Surupam alone. Here everything is Atma. That is the statement, the description of the Atma. How Atma is, all that is here is Atma. Which means the Surupam of the Jiva is Atma. The Surupam of the Jiva, the essential nature of the Jiva, implied by the term Atma alone is everything. Already we have learned previous mantra, all that is here is Brahma, and all that is here is, everything here is Jiva Surupam, the Atma. Atma is everything, therefore, Atma and Bhuma are not two different things, they are essentially one and the same. So we saw last class very clearly, it was explained, Badhayam Samanadhikaranyam, then Aikya Samanadhikaranyam. I am not repeating all those things today. Okay, we are going straight away to the class. Then comes here after this, Atma Eva Idam Sarvam Iti, after that mantra, then Palashrutihi comes. The Palashrutihi, the mantras revealing the benefit of the knowledge. Because it's very important to know the benefit of knowledge also. Only then we will be interested in knowing the truth. For Sava Yeshaha Evam Pashyan Evam Manvanaha Evam Vijanan. So until then, this mantra mentions, talks about the wise person. And who is this wise person here? Evam Pashyan, Evam Manvanaha, Evam Vijanan. Evam is an indeclinable word, which means in this manner. In which manner? The manner it has been unfolded above. What has been unfolded above? A Bhuma, everything is Bhuma, everything is Atma. Your Atma and Bhuma are not two different things. What is Atma? Essential nature of the Jiva. What is Bhuma? Essential nature of everything else. The real truth of the whole is implied by the word Bhuma. Truth of the individual is implied by the term Atma. They are one and the same. Atma and Bhuma or Brahma, all three words imply the one and the only same reality in terms of its nature. That was made very clear. So here, and evam in this manner, pashyan, manvanaha, vijanan. These three words stand for the three steps involved in the Shastra study. Pashyan stands for shravanam. One who sees the truth as unfolded by the teacher in the class. It's what implies the shravanam. Manvanaha stands for mananam. And then vijanan stands for this vision one attains as a result of Nididhyasanam. Ascertainment of the vision one has as a result of repeated contemplation. What a Vijanan. Such a person, what is he? Atmaratihi, Atmakridaha, Atmamithunaha, Atmanandaha Bhavati. All the four words describe a wise person, which means the wise person revels in one's own self. He is no more dependent on the world for his happiness or security. He is emotionally independent of the world for his happiness and security. And that emotional independence is called what? Freedom, moksha, which is a jivan muktihi. The jivan muktihi is implied by these words, these four words. Atmaratihi, Atmakridaha, Atmamithunaha, Atmanandaha. Then, sahaswarad bhavati. Sahaswarad bhavati. That wise person becomes self-effulgent reality Brahman. He becomes one with reality. That one word, sahaswarad bhavati, is an expression which stands for the wise person attaining videha mukti after exhausting the parabdha karma. Then when the person departs, wise person also has to die like an ignorant person. He also has to leave the physical body. But what happens to the wise person after when leaving the physical body? He becomes one with the Brahman. Means does not become one with Brahman. Which means he does not return. He is already Brahma. He remains as Brahma without becoming an individual. See, wise person becomes Brahman means wise person or ignorant person, nobody can become Brahman because already everyone is Brahma. The wave can never become water. The wave is already water. So here the wise person becomes Brahman means what? Ignorant person also is Brahma. Wise person also is Brahma. Only thing is wise person knows he is Brahma. Ignorant person does not know. That's the only difference. Therefore, the wise person, swarat bhavati, means he becomes Brahman after the exhaustion of the parabdha. When he leaves the physical body like any other ignorant person, what happens to the wise person? Wise person remains one with Brahman. Which means he does not return into this world assuming a body mind sense complex as a jiva. Remaining one with Brahman means this person avoids coming back. Not his choice. Okay, that is the jnana phalam. Not that I want to come, I don't want to come. As a result of jnanam, the person does not return. I think with this we took lot of time to explain, isn't it? Last class I spent quite a lot of time. He does not return. Why he cannot, that not returning, assuming another body, mind, sense complex, as a jiva, is called what? Remaining one with Brahman, which is called videha muktihi, is mentioned here as the saha swarad bhavati. And why he cannot return, it was also made very clear, the mind will resolve for good. The mind, the human mind, is the most exalted of the manifestations of the matter. And subtlest of the, because mind itself is what? It's a product of sattvamsha of the matter. What is mind made of? Even though mind is not perceptible, not at all perceptible, is not describable, mind is something which can be understood in terms of thoughts, and thoughts can be understood in terms of emotions, knowledge, understanding, etc. And that mind, and which we also understand the mind in terms of the three states of experience, as three states of mind. But this mind, how long does it remain? This mind is indestructible. It can never be destroyed. It cannot be destroyed by any of the elements or the elementals. Na yenam chindanti na yenam dahati na pavakaha yenam na dahati. Shastrani yenam na chindanti. Weapons do not cut or cleave. Marutaha na soshayati. Wind does not dry the, not only the Atma, the consciousness. elements cannot do any harm to the mind also. Mind also. So the mind is indestructible. The mind is there all the time, and this mind, how long can it be there? It will come back again and again and again and again. Every time the paragda is exhausted, again it, after leaving the physical body, it will come back assuming another body, which is called punarjanma. So consciousness has no punarjanma. Okay, body also gets disintegrated. Who comes back assuming with all the old samskaras, retaining the previous samskaras, previous inclinations for things, etc., with the unfulfilled desires or something, everything, this mind alone comes back. And how long can the mind come back? As long as ignorance is there. The ignorance of that reality, ignorance of this swarupam is resolved, then if ignorance is not there, ignorance caused all other, things, obtaining of thoughts also cannot rise. Rising is not possible. Desire, anger, hatred, jealousy, those things cannot rise. Therefore, along with ignorance caused other thoughts, modifications also will resolve. Therefore, mind cannot survive. And the mind will be resolved for good. Why? Because the very ahankara will be resolved. The ignorance is resolved means ahankara will be resolved. If the ahankara is not there anymore, mind cannot survive. Resolution of ignorance of this truth always has to happen in terms of resolution of the ignorance of this self. So resolution of the ignorance of the reality has to happen in terms of what? As resolution of the ignorance of this self. And the resolution of the ignorance of the self means resolution of the ignorance of the very swarupam, which means resolution of the I-sense. Cognitively resolving the I-sense in its swarupam. Once ahankara is resolved, then the I-thought must be there for any other thought to rise. That is a secret. Then no other thought can rise. Therefore, when the mind leaves, wise person's mind will resolve for good. Therefore, it can't assume another body and cannot come back. This remaining one with the Brahman, remaining as Brahman, becoming Brahman means not coming back, assuming another body. It is called Swarad Bhavati. And tasya sarveshu lokeshu kamacharaha bhavati means, and he can move freely at his will anywhere. And I also talked about the Arthavada Vakyani, the statements which reveal the glories of anything. So there is Stutyarthavada Vakyani, Ninda Arthavada Vakyani, all these Arthavada Vakyani will be there. And here we have Ninda Arthava, Stutyarthavada, the statement presenting the glory of the wise person, the statement presenting, talking about the now, criticism of the ignorant person, both are here presented. We saw that also. Then, later on, we moved on to the next mantra, 26th. Tasya hava.
Tasya hava.
Etasya.
Etasya.
Evam pashyataha.
Evam pashyataha.
Toh, tada pesha shloka bhati viha katakam. Okay. Evam manvanasya,
evam
vijanataha, atmataha, pranaha, atmataha, akashaha, asha, atmataha, smaraha, atmataha, akashaha,
atmataha,
tejaha, ఆత్మతః ఆపః ఆత్మతః ఆవిర్భావః. యాక్చువల్లీ ఆత్మతః ఆవిర్భావతిరోభావౌ. You have to see it like that. I just, for the sake of understanding, I split it differently. Atmatah avirbhava tirobhavau. Avirbhavaha tirobhavaha cha avirbhava tirobhavau. Avirbhava tirobhavau. ఆత్మతః అన్నం, ఆత్మతః బలం, ఆత్మతః విజ్ఞానం, ఆత్మతః ధ్యానం, ఆత్మతః చిత్తం, ఆత్మతః సంకల్పః, ఆత్మతః మనః, ఆత్మతః వాక్. ఆత్మతః నామ ఆత్మతః మంత్రాః, ఆత్మతః కర్మాణి ఆత్మతః ఏవ. ఇదం సర్వం ఇదం సర్వం ఆత్మతః ఏవ. సో హియర్ ఇట్ సౌండ్స్ లైక్ ది డిస్క్రిప్షన్ ఆఫ్ ది ఆత్మా, బట్ హియర్ ఇట్స్ ఎ గ్లోరీ ఆఫ్ ది వైస్ పర్సన్. ఇట్ మీన్స్ వెన్ యు సే ఆత్మ, ఆత్మతః 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 మీన్స్ వాట్? వెన్ ఎవర్ యు యాడ్ దిస్ వన్ లెటర్, యునో ఇట్స్ కాల్డ్ తసిక్ ప్రత్యయ. ఓకే, ta is added to any noun, it will give you the fifth case meaning. Kal pancham yarthe tasil, the sense of fifth case. Add ta, suppose rama taha sita taha, means what? Sita taha means from Sita, rama taha also means from Rama. Suppose instead of tasil pratyaya, this tasil, you know, If you say properly, you have to say what? Ramat or Sita Yaha Vahanat, gender difference. Okay? You want to know what is in feminine gender, Sita Yaha, and masculine gender, Ramat Vahanat, difference will be there. Suppose instead of using that, just a Shastra itself, no, there is one shortcut method, an easy method. Now what is? Add Taha with any word, it gives you fifth case meaning. Rama taha, Sita taha, no, Jana taha, Akasha taha. Like taha add, it gives you the fifth case meaning, from. So, that is called pancham yate tasil. Panch, in the sense of fifth case meaning, you can use taha. Now, pustaka taha, from the book. Add taha. Upadhyane apadhanam. This is a sutta also we have. Which means, from the Atma, everything has come. From the Self, everything has come. Which Self? Whose Self? Wise person's Self. Who is the wise person? Who has done Shravanam, who has done Mananam, and who has continuously contemplated upon one Swarupam, thereby one who has the clear, doubt-free vision of the Self being Brahma Bhuma, for whom Atma and Brahma are one and the same, and such a person, from that Self alone, from that wise person, everything has come, means here the wise person is highly glorified as Ishvara. So can wise person become Ishvara? Wise person is as great as Ishvara, but he can never become Ishvara, even though he is, it's called what? It's called Stutyarthavadaha. He simply, he is glorified. Wise person is free from sorrow, free from limitations, definitely no doubt. Okay, standpoint of the reality, wise person is of course Ishvara. Ignorant person also is Ishvara. But from the standpoint of the body mind complex, the Upadhi, wise person can never become Ishvara. So only Jiva. But still how is it glorified? Now everything is Ishvara. This is the glory of Bhagavan, glory of Ishvara. Sagunam Brahma. All that is here is Ishvara. Why? Everything has come from Ishvara. And that glory is attributed to wise person here. So here in this mantra, first mantra, what we see here is the glory of wise person who is compared to Ishvara. So should we give importance for this? We should understand it. Understand the glory as the glory, and we should not take it very seriously about it. Okay, next. Tadesha shloko. Okay. So here, tad yeshaha shlokaha. So yeshaha shlokaha, whenever you come across this expression, which means this is a mantra, and Upanishad itself quotes some other mantra from another Upanishad, which also gives the same meaning. It means the jnana phalam, the knowledge of the benefit of knowledge being one and the same, discussed in all the Upanishads, is again presented here. Why? So that, this Upanishad gives different palam. That Upanishad gives a different palam. Different Upanishads do not give different benefits as the benefits of knowledge. All the Upanishads reveal the same palam for jnanam, mokshaha, jivan muktihi, latest videha muktihi, being the palam of knowledge, being the benefit of knowledge, is said in all the Upanishads, it is one and the same result. Same phalam. Benefit of knowledge being one and the same is emphasized very clearly presented in all the Upanishads. And it's called what? Gati Samanya Nyaya. Gati Samanya Nyaya means what? You understand whatever phalam benefit of knowledge is discussed in one Upanishad, the same benefit of knowledge is presented in all the Upanishads. They do not differ. So here also, Tadesha Shlokaha. Tadesha Shloka means here is a mantra from another Upanishad quoted by Chandogya Upanishad. In Chandogya Upanishad, another mantra Upanishad is quoted. For what to say? The different result is not mentioned. The same result is mentioned. What is next mantra? Other mantra? Na pashyaha. Mrityum pashyati. See, jnana pala. The wise person's glory is again presented in other Upanishad, is quoted by Chandogya Upanishad. So in the Chandogya Upanishad, wise person's glory presented in other Upanishad is quoted here. Look at this. Na pashyaha mrityum pashyati. Na rogam. Na uta. Dukhatam. Sarvamha. Pashyati. Sarvam apnoti. Sarvashaha. Iti. So there ends the first. Okay, second. Let me tell you. Tadesha shlokaha. Afterwards, na pashyaha mrityum pashyati is the first sentence. Na pashyaha mrityum pashyati is the first sentence. So pashyaha here means drashta, the one who sees. Pashyaha here means pashyan purushaha, the person who sees the truth is called Pashyan Purushaha. That's why in Sanskrit and Tamil also we have Parkinravan. Parambarulai Parkinravan is Parpanan. Okay. One who sees the truth is called Brahmana. Sanskritam, Tamil language, they use the word seer. Parkinravan, the one who sees the truth all the time. One who does not, cannot lose sight of the vision of the reality. Every time you see the ocean, my God, you cannot avoid seeing the water. This is called what? Not being able to lose sight of the vision of the reality. Every time you are up, being water, we are up experiencing the ocean. In the same way, the wise person is the one, whatever he sees, any object in any form, and the Pashyaha is the one who sees the truth. Whether he perceives the sounds, he sees Brahman, reality, the awareness. When he perceives forms and colors and light, he perceives Brahman. It means what? He sees the reality. Whatever he smells, he sees Brahman. Whatever he tastes, he sees Brahman. He sees awareness, the consciousness, the reality. In everything he experiences, everything he perceives. That such a person is called what? Pashyaha. One who sees the reality. One who cannot, does not lose sight of the vision of the reality is Pashyaha. So Pashyaha, Mrityum na Pashyati. Such a person who sees the reality. For him, what is the reality? Reality, not only everything is reality. For him, one's own Swarupam is reality. For him, the reality alone is. For this person who sees the reality in everything as everything, and he sees his own Swarupam as reality, therefore, because he is for him, there is no I which is not reality. There is no this which is not reality. I am reality. This is also reality. All that is there is only reality for that person. Therefore, and reality is what? Free from time limitation. There is no free from time limitation. The Vachya person, because of his identity, is not there with the body, mind and complex. Therefore, he is free from mortality, death. Saha mrityum na pashyati. Yaha brahma pashyati, bhumanam pashyati, saha mrityum na pashyati. He does not see the death. Na rogam, which means there is no, he does not see the disease. Suppose the wise person's body has disease. Wise person's physical body will have diseases. Shariram rogam pashyati. But pashyaha rogam na pashyati. He is free from the notion that I am sick. I am ill. Isn't it? Therefore, he is free from diseases. Na uta dukkhatam. He does not see the sorrow also. Sorrowfulness also. You know, dukkhatam na pashyati. Not only this, also uta also. Dukkhatam na pashyati. He does not see sorrow also. Because sorrow also for him is what? Because there is no I sense. I am free. Aham is what? The doership is resolved. Enjoyership is resolved. Wrong identity is not there anymore. Right perspective being there. Sorrow is mind which is an object. He does not internalize the problems of body, mind, sense complex as his problems. Therefore, he is free from sorrow, he is free from diseases, he is free from mortality, he is free from time limitation. There is no more for the I for him. Dukkhatam. Now he says, Pashyaha sarvam pashyati. Pashyaha sarvam pashyati. Now this wise person sees only the reality. And sarvam apnoti sarvashaha. The next sentence is now. So, the first sentence is pashyaha mrityum na pashyati, rogam na pashyati, dukkhatam na pashyati. Second sentence, pashyaha sarvam pashyati. He sees the reality alone. He sees everything as only reality, only bhuma. Hacha person, sarvam apnoti. Third sentence, saha sarvam apnoti sarvashaha. So, saha pashyaha sarvam apnoti sarvashaha. It means, sarvam apnoti sarvashaha means he attains everything, which is an equivalent mantra to the mantra in Taittiriya Upanishad. Yo veda nihitanguhayam parame vyoman. The next sentence, so oshnote sarvan kamaan sah brahmana vipaschiteti. Saha sarvan kaman ashnute brahmana vipaschita iti. This wise person has got all his desires fulfilled. Does it mean that wise person fulfilled all his desires? See, being free from the hold of desires is as good as having all one's desires fulfilled. He is sarvashaha sarvam apnoti means what? He has accomplished everything. He attains everything. Wise person attains everything means there's nothing he does not have. There's nothing which he is missing. He attains everything means what? He does not attain everything. He's as good as having attained, accomplished everything. Which means there's nothing which he needs to achieve, attain, fulfill to, for his happiness, for his security. Knowledge is there. He need not have everything. He may not have everything. But still, as having attained everything, as it were. No? Which means he is no more, he does not need to fulfill, achieve, attain anything at all for his happiness or security. Therefore, is as good as having attained everything. Saha sarvamapnoti sarvashaha iti. This is the jnana phalam. Not a glory here, it's a jnana phalam. Benefit of knowledge. And benefit of knowledge, discussed in some other Upanishad, is quoted here in this Chandogya Upanishad to prove the gati samanya nyaya. A Upanishads do not differ. All of them repeat the same. So that what now? We have become, we are convinced. Whether Taittiriya Upanishad, whether some other Upanishad, any other Upanishad, Chandogya Upanishad, the benefit of knowledge is the same. Moksha is ultimate goal and moksha is a choiceless end. And for that moksha, you need only jnanam. That is made very clear. Okay, there afterwards, again, there is a stutyartha vadaha. The jnani's glory is again discussed. Here, Upanishad presents the glory of a wise person, where again he is equated to Bhagavan, Ishvara. And this also, you remember very well, is only a glory, stutyartha vadaha, definitely. Without the Maya Upadhi, one cannot become an omniscient and omnipotent and all that. Swarupataha, he is Ishvara. But Upadhitaha, he is only Jiva. Wise person is a Jiva, the standpoint of Upadhi. The standpoint of the Swarupam, of course, he is Ishvara. Therefore, he has certain limitations as a Jiva. That we should not deny. But still, he is equated to Ishvara here. Look at this now. See, Ishvara is described, and that Ishvara's description is presented as the Jiva's description here, which means it's a glory of Jiva, the wise person.
Saha ekadha bhavati.
Saha ekadha
त्रिधा भवति पञ्चधा भवति आई एम एडिंग भवति ओके सप्तधा नवधा च एव पुनः च एकादशः स्मृतः शतं च दश च एकश्च सहस्राणि च विंशतिः okay until vimshatihi again a gyani glory of a wise person stutyarthavadah wherein gyani is glorified as bhagavan see ishwaraha alone was there in the beginning ishwara alone was as the cause of the universe jagat karana rupena bhagavan asit when bhagavan remained as the cause of the universe universe was there or not universe was in the form of the cause then how was bhagavan was alone ishwarah remained alone ekadha means ishwarah remained as one and the only cause of the entire universe of plurality ekadha bhagavan alone was there as the cause of the universe then tridha bhavati then what happens bhagavan multiplied itself ishra multiplied itself as many how so three became three they became five became seven became nine then 11 in this manner shatam 100 then sahasrani many thousands then 20 that's all mantra is said mantra says only this much which means bhagavan was there in the form of the cause then multiplied it's through multiplication the cause alone has become many dividing itself into many one vastu one cause alone has become many multiplying itself into many which is what now therefore we can say the whole universe of innumerable countless forms and names indicated by innumerable countless words all of them are what now manifestations appearances of the one and the only cause how many your parts are there all the parts are what now products of one clay only therefore this whole jagat also is what now the elements elementals living beings non living things experiences everything is ishwara for all the cause alone is in the form of the effects all the effects are nothing but the cause bhagavan was the cause therefore as the cause Bhagavan was there alone and that one cause alone became many as the effects. All the effects are nothing but the cause. Therefore, all whole jagat of this world of plurality, the innumerable countless forms and names are all only one cause which is Bhagavan. Whole jagat is Bhagavan. Ishwara is always presented as what? Nimitta upadana karanamah jagat. Cause alone was there, Bhagavan alone was there, then became many. This is the simple understanding, just to say everything is Brahma, everything is Ishwara. And is actually real glory of Ishwara. And this glory of Ishwara is presented here as the glory of wise person. But only a stutyartha vadaha is over. So with this, teaching is over. Seventh chapter teaching is over. Now what comes next? Here onwards, one important discipline called Dhamaha is highlighted by the Shruti Upanishad. And how does it present this Dhamaha? Different way. In a different way, Upanishad presents. Read it now, next sentence onwards. The discipline Dhamaha is presented differently, beginning with the word Ahara Shuddhau. Look at this. Let us read now. Ahara Shuddhau. Sattva Shuddhihi. Sattva Shuddhau. Dhruva Smritihi. Smriti Lambhe. Sarvagranthinam. Vipramokshah. Okay. From that, until Vipramokshah, the discipline of Dhamaha is emphasized. Look at this. Ahara Shuddhau. Before Ahara Shuddhi word, there is a word Vimshatihi. 20. Okay. So just how one became many. Therefore, just by saying everything is Ishvara, that's finished. That is, Ishvara's glory of one becoming many as Jagat Karanam is present as the glory of the wise person, that ends. The discipline begins from the word Ahara Shuddhau. Ahara Shuddhau Sattva Shuddhihi. Sattva Shuddhau. Dhruva Smritihi. Smriti Lambhe. Sarvagranthinam. Vipramokshah. Okay, here Sattva Shuddhihi means mental purity. Sattvam here does not mean Sattva Gunaha. Sattvam means mind. Why? The mind being the product of sattvic aspect of the matter. The mind also is known by the word sattvam. The mind is sattvam here. Sattva Shuddhihi means antahkarana shuddhihi, mental purity happens. When does mental purity happen? Mental purity is possible only if there is Ahara Shuddhihi. If the Aharaha literally means that which is taken in. Ahriyate iti Aharaha. There's a root called Hr. You know, Hr means snatch. Harati snatches, grabs, takes away. It's called Harati. If you add the prefix, the meaning changes. Viharati means plays. You know, apaharati means again snatches. But aharati means takes in, consumes. So, ahriyate iti aharaha. Anything which is taken in is called ahara. Anything which is consumed is called ahara. Why food is called food? You can't say. But in English, in Sanskrit, we can say, why food is called aharaha? That which is taken in, consumed, is ahara. So, not only the food which is taken into your digestive system through the mouth is aharaha, which is food. Any sense object, all the sense object, perceived through the sense organs, taken into your mind, are also what? Aharaha. So, pancha indriya vishayaha, indriya arthaha, five sense objects are all what now? Aharaha. So, ahara shuddhau sattva shuddhihi. Your mental purity is absolutely dependent on the type of food which is taken in, the type of objects which are perceived, and the quantity of objects, quality of things, quality and the quantity of food which is consumed, taken in, contributes for your degree of mental purity. So what you are consuming, what you are perceiving, how much you are perceiving must be taken care of. Things will be available. You can see things. You cannot help seeing things, hearing objects, smelling. You can't prevent from perceiving objects available in the world. Because once all the sense organs are kept open, naturally there will be constantly report will be going on, given of the objects available. What are in front of you to see, what are all there in front of you to hear, smell, taste and touch. Objects will be available. You will be perceiving them. But still, what is taken in, where you place your attention in, that is very, very important, isn't it? Therefore, you can perceive, the perception itself must be taken care of. So anything which distracts attention from being ethical, moral and righteous. So take attention away from those objects. Any objects which distract you from your commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, take attention away. So any objects now which really prevents you from attainment of the goal, living a life of dharma, then take attention away from them. It's called what now? This is what is dhamaha. So there must be moderation in enjoyment of objects. The vishayaha, objects are here for you to enjoy, but definitely how much you enjoy, when you enjoy, what you enjoy must be taken care of. That's what is called dhamaha. Ahara shuddhau sattva shuddhihi, only then you can maintain the mental purity. Why do I need mental purity? So what if the mind is not pure? So sattva shuddhihi, the twofold, okay? Absolute mental purity and relative mental purity. Absolute mental purity you need not attain, that is your swarupam, that you will have when only in the wake of the knowledge of your swarupam. In jnanam, you can take ownership of your swarupam being absolutely pure. When the jnanam is there, you also will be reveling in fullness. There'll be fullness, there'll be limitlessness, there is real sukham. So sukham will be your swarupam, then we are not dependent on the external world for happiness and sukham, then naturally all these emotions also will resolve for good. Like there won't be binding disease, anger, jealousy, hatred, all of them also will resolve. And all of them are not there, it's what now? Absolute purity. You do not make efforts to undo them, okay? They themselves disappear. This absolute purity is possible only in jnanam. But until knowledge, you have to, when you are able to manage your emotions, you have relative purity. That managing, with your knowledge of right and wrong, using your willpower, and also avoiding perception of things, and also indulgence in things which distract you from, make you go against dharma, I'll call what now? Dhamaha. Then you can have relative purity. It's called relative purity is there, then contemplation also is possible. So here, ahara shuddho sattva shuddhihi. Again, why does the doubt may come, why does this Sanat Kumara talk about this dhamaha toward the end of the teaching? He finished teaching the whole thing. Atma is everything, Brahman is everything, teaching is Atma and Bhuma are one and the same, finished. And he talked about the jnani also. Why is he talking about it towards the end? Know why? I tell you. Somehow he may give the answer here. We have understood the teaching very, very clearly. teaching is very clear. But we see, you said jnanam, the benefit of knowledge is moksha. We'll be free from the problems. We have understood the teaching very well, but we don't seem to be enjoying the benefit of the knowledge. Isn't it? Jnana palam is not there. So what is the reason for not being able to enjoy the benefit of knowledge even after attaining the knowledge? Before, the suffering was there, problems were there because ignorance was there. Now ignorance is not there. Ignorance is gone. Knowledge is there. So, because of ignorance, there were problems before. Now, ignorance is not there. Ignorance caused problems are not there anymore. Cannot be there anymore. Then still problems are there. What is the cause of these problems we have now? These problems we have after the knowledge, which means we are not enjoying the benefit of the knowledge. These problems are caused by our lack of preparedness on the part of the mind. For not being able to assimilate. We have understood, we are not able to assimilate the knowledge. The knowledge is there, it has not yet been digested, assimilated. Sometimes now, when you're very tired, weak, or so hungry, you eat. Even after eating also, sometimes you feel tired. No way, you need some more time for assimilation, absorption. Like here, the food has gone in, but is yet to be assimilated. Ascertained. Similarly, the shastram has gone in, understanding hasn't taken place, it has not yet been assimilated, ascertained, which means, how do you say it has not yet been assimilated? You are not able to remember. Assimilated means you will remember. If it is not assimilated, you understand, but you do not remember. So you are not being able to remember the knowledge always is because you have not assimilated it. And assimilation is not there because for assimilation you need what? Certain degree of purity. For which you need Dhamaha. So Krishna Arjuna says the same thing in Bhagavad Gita. Yoyam yogastvaya proktaha samyena madhusudhana. You have said this yoga. I do not see the benefit. Natvaham. No, I do not see that because chanchalatvat sthiram sthitim. So Krishna Arjuna says, you have taught me 18 chapters, but still I found it very difficult. I am not able to remember. I am not able to enjoy the benefit of knowledge. Therefore, in the same way, even after attaining the jnanam also, unless you assimilate this knowledge, it will be of no use, which means you do not enjoy the benefit of this knowledge. In order to be able to enjoy the benefit of the knowledge, you must have assimilated it, you must be able to remember it, and that remembrance is possible only if you have a certain degree of mental purity, for which you need to take care of your dhamaha. So that is the reason here. He says, Ahara Shuddho Sattva Shuddhihi Sattva Shuddho Dhruva Smritihi. One, there is relative mental purity, then Dhruva Smritihi. There be firm memory. Dhruva Smritihi. Dhruva Smritihi. Smriti Lambhe. Suppose it's a constant, continuous, memory, remembrance of the teaching. is there, assimilated vision is there, then what happens? Sarvagranthinam vipramokshaha. Sarvagranthinam vipramokshaha. Mokshaha means freedom. Pramokshaha means what? Freedom for good. Vi visheshena prakarshena mokshaha. Vipramokshaha. There will be freedom for good from all the limitations. Sarva granthinam vipramokshaha. Granthihi means knot. Now you will be freed from, liberate, there will be liberation, freedom from the tie-ups, the knots, all the knots which keep you tied, bound to limitations and samsara. And mainly Shankara says, avidya, kama, karma, three knots. Avidya, ignorance, kama, desire, karma, phalam. Avidya, kama, karma. Once you have ignorance, you do what? There will be desire. And when the desires are there, you perform actions. When you perform action, there will be results. When the results are there, you have to be born again. Avidya, kama, karma are the three main knots. So, sarvagranthinam vipramokshaha means all this, there will be breaking of these three knots. So, three knots will be broken for good, which means you will be liberated for good. Once you attain moksha, again you forget, again you come back. No. This will is once for all, isn't it? Once for all, you will be liberated from the bondage. It's called what? Granthinam. You will be freed, liberated for good from all knots of ignorance. All knots of samsara caused by three factors. What are the three knots? Ignorance, avidya, kama, karma. Sarvagranthinam vipramokshaha. When that freedom, jivan muktihi is possible only when there is a smriti lambaha. Smriti lambaha means what now? Without forgetting, ever remembered, never forgettable, ever remembered, clear ascertained vision. And that is possible when? When you have dhruva smritihi, firm memory. And that is possible only when sattva shuddhau, when you have relative mental purity. And that mental purity is possible only if you take care of what is going in, what I see, what I hear, what I smell, what I taste, what I touch, has to be taken care of. How much I take, how much I see, when I see, what I see, when, where, how much, they all must be taken care of. Isn't it? It's called Dhamaha. But Dhamaha is emphasized here in this. Having presented this, finally emphasizing, suppose if at all anybody has a complaint, all of you must be having the complaint of knowledge being not useful, not being able to enjoy the benefit of knowledge. If at all there is a complaint, and Shastram says, don't find fault with the teaching or the teacher or the Shastram. Take care of your mental purity. So without the jnanam also, relative mental, absolute purity is not at all possible without jnanam. And relative, without the relative purity, jnanam will not be effective. Mere mental purity without the jnanam also what? Will be of no use. So Shastra Shravanam is important, Mananam is important, Nidhyas, jnanam has to be attained of course. And Nididhyasanam, constant contemplation is possible. See, continuously, constantly being able to pay attention upon the teaching, that remembering is itself is possible, only the mind is not disturbed, isn't it, by the unwanted thoughts. Therefore, that is why unwanted thoughts do come. So, prayerfully, worshipfully, seek Bhagavan's grace also and take care of your Dhammaha. That's the only way you can do. Only then you can enjoy the benefit of Jnanam. Only when you enjoy the benefit of Jnanam, you can call such a person a Jnani. Otherwise, still Jnanam is not given the benefit. Isn't it? So having also given the clue for enjoying the benefit of knowledge, now here Upanishad ends. Now, suddenly, Upanishad comes into the picture to conclude the chapter. Tasmai Mrudita Kashayaya Tamasav Param Darshayati Bhagavan Sanatkumaraha. So Tasmai Mrudita Kashayaya Tamasaha Param Darshayati Bhagavan Sanatkumaraha. Upanishad comes into the picture now, and Upanishad says this sentence. What does Upanishad say? Bhagavan Sanatkumaraha. Rishihi Sanatkumaraha is highly revered as Bhagavan. Bhagavan Sanatkumaraha, Rishihi Sanatkumaraha, Darshayati. He shows what? Param. Param means the shore. He shows the shore. Shore of what? Shore beyond the ocean of ignorance. Tamasaha ajnanat ajnana samudrat param. He shows the shore of knowledge beyond the ignorance, ocean of ignorance. Tamasaha param. Ariyamayai kadand arivennum karayai kattugirar. So the Sanatkumaraha shows the shore of knowledge beyond the ocean of ignorance. Tamas means ignorance here. Tamasaha param darshayati. The Panchami again means what now? Beyond. Isn't it? He shows. To whom? Whom does he show this shore of knowledge beyond the ocean of ignorance? Mrudita kashayaya naradaya. To whom? Kasmai darshayati. Tasmai. To the same, tasmai to that Narada who had approached him asking for Atma Jnanam to him. And who is that Narada? Mrudita Kashayaha. That also very important word. Mrudita Kashayaha. The one in whom all the Kashayas, impurities have been killed. Means what? In whom all the impurities have been resolved. Pure-minded. Mrudita Kashayaha means pure-minded. What are the Kashayaha? What are the Kashayaha means actually, in Ayurveda, medicine is called Kashaya. Very bitter. There is a bitter or pungent or some tasteless, funny tasty. Medicine is called Kashaya. So here impurities are called. They're medicine, okay, that's very good. All kashayam is good. But this kashaya means impurity, such as Shankara says, Ragadveshadi Doshaha. Mruditaha means destroyed, vinashitaha. So the Narada in whose mind all these impurities have been destroyed. Shankara says they've been completely washed off. How jnana vairagya abhyasa rupa ksharena. With this cleansing agents in terms of jnanam, vairagyam, etc., all his impurities have been completely washed off. It means that he had got all his resolved. So, mrudita kashayaya, the pure-minded, one who is mind free from all the kashayas, impurities, to hach narada, Bhagavan Sanat Kumaraha Darshayati. Kim Darshayati Param, Jnana Param Darshayati. He shows the shore of knowledge, which is moksha, which is beyond this ocean of samsara, ocean of ajnanam. Tamasaha Param Darshayati. Which means Narada has seen the shore of knowledge, he is relieved of what? Ocean of samsara, ignorance. Now, tameva sanat kumaram devam skanda itya chakshate. Tam skandaha iti achakshate. Skandaha is name of Lord Subramanya. And here, Upanishad itself is saying, sanat kumara's another name is skandaha. They also believe maybe Lord Subramanya alone must have come in the form of Sanat Kumara. So, all Tamil people will be very happy to know Sanat Kumara is Murugan. Really? I am not saying this. Tameva skandaitya chakshate. Tam Sanat Kumaram skandaha iti achakshate. They say Sanat Kumara must have been Lord Muruga himself. So he is also known as Skandaha. Why does Upanishad suddenly mention about last sentence in the second chapter? Upanishad is what? Tameva Skanda ityachakshate. Tam means what? Him alone they call as Skandaha. Therefore, the teaching given to Narada was not by ordinary person, great rishi. Bhagavan Sanat Kumaraha, who is another than Bhagavan Subramanya himself. Like Narayanena Swayam, yes, Subramanyena Swayam. We can say all the stories, I won't say too many stories. Upanishad simply says, Sanat Kumara's another name was Skandaha. With this, 7th chapter is over. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamivavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tatsat Shri Krupyo Namaha Harihi Om.